I don't think a company is going to start trying to value an AI over like a true human eye. It just might not be as many.
The machines have like an end goal in mind. And I think that like when you have an artistic vision that you can impose on the end goal, you make the end goal even better. You know what I'm saying? It's like true. You've seen how your AI came out. A lot of them motherfuckers cross-eyed and background.
Cross-eyed. My hands are fucking crazy. And the thing is that if I had asked a human to do that and they presented that same work, you would think that they were drunk. What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you again with another episode. Yo, so happy to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for clicking the link. Thank you so much for checking out the page. Whether you're on Spotify, Apple Music, whether you're any of these platforms, if you're checking us out on YouTube and you're looking at the pretty faces, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's the holiday season, so you might be hearing this right around or right before or right after Christmas. Either way, I hope that you had a fantastic time with your family. I hope that you've been enjoying all the awesome gifts that you got or have not received yet. Hope you're excited for all that shit. I know I is. As always, or sometimes, or maybe not ever, I've got my brother with me. What's up, bro? Say what up to the people, brother.
Yeah, that was a nice little all-encompassing fucking, you know, intro that you did.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I gave it up.
You did the thing. After a year, you finally got around to doing the thing.
I appreciate that
belt line right there, boy. How you feeling, man?
Yeah, you know, fat boy. Yeah, that's me. Nah, really though. Ladies and gentlemen, I hit you with all that energy because I didn't want you to feel like this was some kind of like drastic ass fucking somber ass situation. Your boy had a little medical emergency, but it was real like minor. I had a little scuffle up with my appendix. It decided it wanted it out of me, so it didn't want to wait for the eviction notice. Didn't give a nigga 30 days or nothing. It just said bow, boom, bam, get me the fuck out of here, boy.
Trying to dress up your appendix is a shitty tenant. It's kind of fucked up, especially in times like these.
God said your body is a temple, nigga.
Your body is a temple, except for when you need to fucking take your pain meds. But that's beside the point.
Yeah, fuck some pain meds, man. You're not trying to be no fucking fiend.
You so scared of being a junkie.
Hey, look, man. It's an American crisis, bro, as they continue to tell us. Now, mind you, as a nigga that fought against the war on drugs for all those goddamn years, I can't necessarily say that the opioid crisis might not be a slight bit of like a fucking, you know, propaganda bullshit fest. But at the same time, I'm like, some niggas are really getting out here like, yo, I had a back surgery and now I'm addicted to fucking painkillers, you know? Yo,
right. I don't know what shit you're reading out there that's got you like shook like that, but I'm gonna let you live. All right. That's saying
every nigga on soft white underbelly, every nigga.
What black people do you know that are addicted to narcotics? All right, fuck it.
I know a lot of powder heads, nigga.
Yeah, powder heads. You're not getting powder from the doctor.
I know a lot of niggas. Hey, yo, now mind you, everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm over here talking about like narcos and shit. I'm getting Tylenol 3s, like, you know, fuck HIPAA. Like, it's not like I'm really getting anything exceptionally narcotic. It's like,
no, but you're so scared of being a junkie. Anything they got an ounce of fucking Oxycontin in it, you're like, oh no, I can't do that.
That's codeine. That's wrong. That's the drink of my people, or at least that's the drink
in
of the
liquid top. Form. I think you're just real particular about the administration of the drug.
Yeah, no, I like to be very particular about how if I'm going to ingest a drug, then I'd like to know. Now, mind you, while I was hooked up to all of my IVs, I couldn't necessarily tell them what the fuck to give me, because I'm just like, get this motherfucking appendix up out of me. Right. I was in the crib. I woke up that morning. I was like, oh, no, I tried everything on pain. I tried a bath on pain. I tried everything worked. Everything didn't work. Except for fucking laying on the goddamn floor. I laid on the floor flat. I was like, ooh, this is right about where I need to be. And that's exactly where my fiance found me.
Ginger ale and lay down
on the floor. She's like, you need to go to the hospital. I was like, okay, cool. Went in there. It took him 15 minutes to be like, yeah, you need to get that appendix up out of
here. You get that motherfucker up out of
here. So they jumped me in an ambulance. I ran up. All the way up 30 miles to a real fucking hospital, because, you know, in small towns they got like, you know, little minor fake hospitals.
Niggas, you like, work over there. You talking shit.
Hey, look, I love him. I'm probably going to. Oh, shit. I almost did it to him, boys. Right? I almost did it to him, boys.
Don't do it to him.
I almost gave it to him. I almost gave him the sauce. But no, seriously, like in small towns, you know, you got like one or two hospitals, and usually it's only one. And that shit's only equipped to handle like a couple of things. Like if you live in like, if you live where dad lived, like where I possibly have one hospital, and they're like,
they're not prepared for shit. No, hence not the at all. Result. But beside the point,
that nigga's morbid and dark. But beside the point, yeah, I got my appendix taken out, so I'm a little bit on the mend, y'all. So I'm trying to give y'all as best as possible. If you see a nigga on the camera looking down at his shit, you know, grabbing his fucking belt area,
my stomach, just
trying to check his incisions and his wounds, y'all. It's not even really, really big of a problem. It's like week one on the mend, and I'm feeling good. That's I can't lift nothing, apparently.
You know, EDP actually just got jammed up with some kidney failure.
God damn.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if this is really the forum to talk about not talking shit about people who are currently dying.
But, yeah, right? God damn. Oof.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Hey, look. It happens, though. The weird thing about it is, dog, is your body, man. Your body, man. That's, I turned 30, and then all of a sudden, it was like, hey, a month later, it's time to get that appendix out, yo. It's time to really think about it. I got insurance. I started scheduling appointments I've never even thought about. I got a wart that grew. I was like, hey, let me get that looked at. It's on my head. It's not like it's anywhere sexual, but like.
Yeah, right. It's not a sexy wart. It's not a sexy wart.
It's just like a regular ass. Let me go to the fucking dermatologist wart. And never in my life did I think I'd be like, yeah, let me go to dermatologist.
I mean, you know, they sell like over the counter wart med, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what kind of warts they're trying to get rid of. And I'm like, you know, hell.
Look at what we're doing after Rhea.
Right after Rhea is like, yeah, talk about the warts.
Yeah, talk about the wart.
The warts.
Look at it. We look at some of our most successful content that we've ever put out, and you already talk about the wart.
And the first thing we want to get into within 15 minutes of the pod is wart game. Wart game. Either way, yo, I'm fine. You know, this nigga was worried about me. Everybody was worried about me. I'm kidding. I was really worried about me. It's my first surgery. I've never been under the knife. I never even went to sleep. I've never been in the office except for like a tooth situation. I wouldn't really even sleep.
Yeah, but nobody put you under.
Yeah, but I was sitting there thinking, oh shit, if what I went through at the dentist is what it's supposed to be like when I go fucking get this appendix taken out of me, I was semi-conscious. Like, yeah, I just dentists my eyes. Because
they're like if you're not, if your insurance ain't right, they're not going to put you under for the fucked up ass tooth surgery they about to give you. They're probably just gonna be like, oh, here's some local anesthesia. You're going to be awake for the whole thing. You might feel a little pressure. And occasionally a little pressure.
I hate that shit. You're gonna feel a little pressure. Also, I'm starting to work my way over my fear of needles, man. Cause that ass, like my second day in the motherfucking hospital, right? Like, I'm like, they got me hooked up with a lead, right? So I'm cooling. I'm like, bet now, y'all, I'm deathly afraid of fucking needles. Like when I was 2 years old, like I walked into the motherfucking, I toddled into the motherfucking pediatrician's office with my mom's. And they're like, you wanna give some shots? And I kicked the motherfucking syringe and that shit raked my whole leg. I had like a whole like scar shit when I was little. I'm obviously fucking grown ass man. But either way, so since then, in my brain, my subconscious is like, nah, nigga, needles is death. So they had me hooked up with a lead. It was in my arm already. I was used to it. I'd already slept the night with that motherfucker in my arm. So I was like, cool, bet. Let's get it. Like, y'all can give me whatever the fuck y'all need to take blood and everything right out of here, right? That sounds good. That bitch came in. Sorry, not that bitch.
She's a nice lady, I'm sure.
That wonderful nurse came in that morning and she was like, all right, cool, we're gonna get some blood. I was like, all right, bet. Blam, here you go. It's all right here for you. And she was like, nah, we can't get blood out of that thing. We gotta get it out of the other. I was like, oh no.
I see the fear in your eyes coming back. And that's what's fucked up.
Like, nah, nigga, because like you gotta understand, man. When you start messing with the other arm over here, I got weak veins over here. The vascularity is not where it's at.
You just need to, like, you know what I mean? Just
nah. You can get me right over here in the right arm. That's where they stuck me initially. It was one stick over.
That's a jackoff arm, nigga. That's always.
She had to hit me with two different ones in the elbow. It didn't work. So then I had to be real with her. I was like, damn, man, gotta be fucking honest. You ever had to be honest in the doctor's office? It was some shit you scared of. You don't want to fucking tell this motherfucker this, but the only way you gonna end this situation, because she just gonna keep sticking me in this fucking elbow area. Look at your fucking face.
Hey man, look, like, hey, I get needles every other day. I'm supposed to get an HIV test pretty soon. I don't got it. I know that. But
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but, I don't got HIV.
But you get exposed to blood?
I mean, you gotta get one every couple years.
Okay.
You gotta get like, one every 2 years? I don't care.
When I was working with them fucking kids and shit, man, strict policies and protocols. Well, that's because
they be junkies sometimes.
What?
They be junkies sometimes.
Yeah, like some of the kids be junkies. Some of the kids have real sexual issues.
Yeah, right.
They're very confused. Look, they're very confused.
Poor kids.
And they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Poor fucking kids. But every time the blood is involved, spit is involved, they be like, hey, you got to go get chest. Damn, it's like getting bit by a rabid dog. It's like, yo, you got to get the rabies shot in your stomach. Fuck.
Comparing like at-risk kids to rabid dogs is very fucked up. And I need you
a little bit. Inside yourself. A little bit. But it's all good. Children are animals.
At-risk youth, nigga. What the fuck?
At-risk youth. Nah, man, those kids were fantastic, but they had a lot of issues and problems. Man. A lot of them are doing good. I be hearing from them and shit. I'm like, oh yeah, good day for you, man. I had a kid I knew with a third nipple. Shout out you out there in Indianapolis, dog. Three nipples, boy, man. He was dope. You play domino.
You know what? It's fine. Y'all will never find him.
You never find him. It's Indianapolis. It's a small state. And but I mean,
it's more common to see a third nipple than I'm willing to admit.
Seriously, though, the genetic mutation is wild, man. The fact that you could just end up with some shit and be like, oh, yeah, nah, I'm a part fucking, you know, cat, part goddamn
I don't know
mouse.
How that happened, and I can tell you about to
I'll say cats have multiple nipples, part mouse. Either way, yada, yada. I had to let them know that, like,
you haven't met a nigga with
you. If you're on my left hand, if you're on my left side, you might have to stick me in a goddamn hand, which I hate. Like, you know, basically I learned that shit from Pops. He was like, you know, hey, look, he just started telling motherfuckers where you could stick me. It's like, if you're going to be sticking me here, you go stick me.
You just got to get so resilient to the sticking, bro. You get over
it. I'm starting to, because I got poked and prodded while this motherfucker was up in me. But after that shit was done, man, I was like, yeah, they're going to let me home so I can get back to it. So we took a little week off. We released a fucking fantastic episode. We can take a week off, but I mean, I didn't
take no week off. That was always planned. You just happened to get a convenient injury.
Yeah, I love it. I didn't do shit for a week.
Yeah, just say that.
I got a week off.
Yeah, we've had a very successful couple weeks of like content. Nigga, I don't know why you sitting up there trying to tell the audience like, oh, I took a week off. No, you didn't. We've been taking hella weeks off.
You're right. And we do it like this now because of my, like, you know, my schedule, the way I like to do shit, you know. My process involves a lot of downtime, and that's my shit. I like to go ahead and be down a little bit, and then my body said it's time to be down. But we're going to be back up real soon, 100%, I guarantee, and within 2 to 3 weeks, you know, we're going to be fucking fantastic. That's I'm manifesting that shit.
But I don't know why you're manifesting it that way. I hated everything about the shit you just did.
What, be 100%? You can't be 100%.
Nah, because I like we have content scheduled for the next 3 weeks. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what the fuck is this nigga talking about?
Hey, look, we're going to gradually move up. If I feel like right now I'm at 65%. 65%.
That's what he's fucking. Right. Okay. So, don't die here.
You know, honestly, yeah, I don't plan on it, man. It was only a little bit scary when they pulled the tube out of my throat, like only a little. But all in all, man, if I'm 65% now, in a week, I feel like I'll be like 75, 80. And then in 3 weeks, I'll be 90 to 100. And then the content is only going to get better. We got 3 weeks of shit going, man. We're going to be on it. We're going to be at it. It's going to be fantastic. I love this shit. I live for this shit, bruh. I live for this shit, cuh. But when I'll take, like, I spent this time, like, I feel like I had a little downtime myself. But in that little downtime, like, of course, you know, I always do my usual shit. I consume a whole lot of fucking media. And I started, like, thinking, you know, my brain gets to working and shit like that. Nigga, do you know, you know who Studio Mappa is, right? You know Studio
of
Mappa?
Of course I know who Studio Mappa is, nigga.
Of course. I mean, you got to, man. They're pretty much producing every goddamn, well, not every, but at least 6 AAA titles anime-wise right now, dub-wise. Well, not just dub-wise. I mean, hell, like, they're producing Chainsaw Man. They're producing One Punch Man season fucking 3. They're doing Attack on Titan fucking season, final season part, whoever the fuck. I think it's part 3. Actually, it's definitely part 3. Well, excuse me, they did final season part three, and they're doing final season part four, which we fucking hope is the final, final part of the seasons. They're also doing Bleach. Like, these motherfuckers, I've been contracted to basically work for the rest of their goddamn, like, the next year, year, two, 3 years, these motherfuckers are going to be glued to their goddamn desks, my nigga. Have you been keeping up with, like, you watching?
I mean, I wouldn't call it, like, keeping up, but I do keep up with, like, different animes, like, getting picked up by MAPPA, or, like, different announcements saying, like, hey, MAPPA will be animating this next thing. Like, Vinland Saga will be, season 2 will be animated by fucking MAPPA. Or fucking
excited as fuck about that, but goddamn.
Christ and shit. Man, like, niggas. That's a lot of shit.
That's a whole lot of shit. And I just got to think, I'm like, damn. Is it like the fucking, is it slavery over there? Like, I was like, is it really like that? These animators? I mean,
it's just definitely, because, like, historically speaking, like, mangakas and fucking animators and all them other people, they have, like, consistent issues with being, like, overworked and, like, all types of other bullshit. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if the shit that's going on over there is, like, all types of fucked up.
Nah, I mean, for sure. Type shit. If you read weekly manga in any form, like, if you do it online, if you fucking pick up volumes, you will see all the time at the end of your chat, like at the end of a chapter, especially a big one, the end of an arc, things like that. You'll see in a fucking editor's note to be like, hey, look, the creator's going to take some time off. You know, we'll be back. Or, hey, it's Golden Week and we're taking that shit off. Like, these, right. Like, I remember when Bleach was finishing up, right? The Bleach manga, Tite Kubo. Yeah, no, I build phlegm very
maybe
easily.
Maybe you need a little water.
I've been drinking lemonade. It makes me phlegmy. But I don't know if you know this. Yeah, but lemonade, it gets back there and it makes me real phlegmy.
Okay, I'm not going to say old. That.
Phlegm. But, Tite Kubo ended up having to take, like, a lot of time off during the Thousand Year Blood War arc. Like, so much so that I feel like the work itself actually suffered because of, like, how much he was, like, how hard he was having to work to keep up with the Shonen Jump schedule, to keep up with, like, what he's promised. And what's cool about that and what's interesting there is, like, it's not like they're locked into, like, a music contract, right? Where they're like, hey, man, we need 4 mangas out of you for the end of the year, dog. Or otherwise, you know, you'll be breach of contract. We can't pay you. Usually it's just like, hey, look, we got you for weekly, which is, I mean, I guess probably just as fucking stressful, like weekly fucking issues. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like as I go, people that were reading it at the time, like, they had a bit of an issue with the way Tite Kubo was, like, having to, like, push himself so goddamn hard, because it seemed like everything was either rushed, all the character development was kind of thrown out the window, or like consequences didn't fucking matter. And it was like, is this just niggas, like, we were worried that I mean,
it's possible niggas was just losing interest in the manga at the time.
It's very true, but now we see, like, how well you see how well the fucking Thousand Year Blood War arc is doing, like, now that it's being animated, like, anime wise. I mean, mind you, niggas been waiting for fucking over a decade of time for this shit. So it makes sense that people are, like, going out of their way to go watch it and stuff. But it's like, oh, like, seeing it now, like, we probably would have had just as much, I don't know, just as much hype for it. With, like, just look at how much hype we have, right? As time has gone on, right? As like, we've given all this time, we've given plenty, like, all we've taken all this time, right? And, like, we've allowed the suspense to build so much so that some people didn't even, like, anticipate the shit to come out at all. And so it disproves, like, yeah, this whole, like, we have to have this, like, bling 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 fucking schedule type situation, because niggas, if it's good, then, like, we don't mind waiting,
right? Well, I mean, keep in mind Tite Kubo is, like, a legacy act in, like, this anime manga shit, and yeah, Bleach is also a legacy fucking property in this anime manga shit.
Super. So, I mean, it's just back again, so it makes it more like, I mean, it throws itself back into the conversation.
Right. And I agree with, like, yeah, it literally throws itself back into the conversation or whatever. And, you know, it's still new. Like, we just got it towards, like, the midpoint of the fourth quarter.
And, yeah, I was like, what, October, September?
Something like that. I don't fucking know. I don't watch it.
I read it. So like I read it. I'm waiting for it to kind of like build up a little bit more. Right. And then I'm
but even like looking at how Tite Kubo was kind of like drawing backgrounds and like leaving out.
Oh, yeah. The big skies and shit.
Right. It's just fucking blank space in a manga panel. It's like, I don't know. I'm constantly worried that a lot of these like animator niggas, mangaka niggas, and all the rest of them, like they're getting kind of tired. And like, I don't think we can keep up with the amount of consumption that people are trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. One thing I'll say is this, though, like as I'm kind of looking at it, I was thinking about it kind of. There's this kind of period where a studio will kind of jump forward. And I mean, I guess I'm moving out of the mangaka talk and more into like the animation studio where like one studio will be very prevalent. Like, remember when Aniplex was just like Aniplex? You saw Aniplex on everything.
Well, Aniplex is like a distributor more so. Yeah, that's like, what I was thinking. Like Bones, like with
Studio Trigger. Let me use Studio Trigger.
Yeah, them niggas.
Like, you know, the Studio Trigger was drawing everything. It was like, you know, here's Promare, here's Gurren Lagann, here's fucking like goddamn Akame ga Kill. Like, I think Studio Trigger did a fucking the fucking fiber clothes fucking.
Usually you can tell when a Studio Trigger, you know what I mean? And I like, you know, they were doing like Gurren Lagann and like the Gurren Lagann adjacent shit. Yeah. It's a lot, but at the end of the day, a lot of these guys, they like, they try to like streamline the process by like outsourcing it out to Korea or like outsourcing it to like different people who have more lax like labor laws.
Got you. Yeah, because where you don't have to, the work day is not necessarily as long and as hard. But like, I'll speak to this is that, do you in the manga that, I mean, I know that you don't necessarily consume a whole fucking lot all the time, but in the shit that you have consumed, like, what do you think as far as like, do you think that the work suffers over time? Like,
I think that any creative work is going to suffer if you're constantly expected to fucking put out at such like a high volume. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I genuinely believe like most niggas cannot like compete with the desire for consumption that like the people fucking have. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I get it. Like, this the demand is greater than a lot of the times a creator can supply. With me, though, I'm thinking like a lot of people will point to successful individuals that do it, right? Like Oda. Like Oda has been dropping.
Oda has worked himself in a position where he can kind of like control his audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, One Piece is just One Piece. It's just one, like, it doesn't even get fucking measured in the same vein as like other mangas.
Yeah, no, there's a meme about the plots and the storylines, and it was like the whole situation is like very, very different as far as the way they kind of put fucking One Piece, is that it's like a constantly expanding world building story. And I've been lucky enough to be able to keep up with One Piece now. Like, it took a couple of years to actually get like, hey, let's catch up. And so once I did, so I was like, okay, I'm caught up with the manga. I can officially say, okay, I'm a One Piece nigga. Like, I can get in there. I crossed that off the list for sure. But right. I was looking at it and I'm like, damn, like in comparison, like between like Bleach, where the people say that's a lot more linear, like pattern based formula.
Yeah, it's a very linear. Like, I wouldn't say it's like, I don't know. I think it really depends on what the mangaka like focuses on. Like, there's certain mangaka that focus more so on like the art, and then there's other mangaka that focus on like the overarching story. And then like you got niggas like Araki who like, you know, they kind of have the whole shit kind of planned out beforehand, then they throw like little bits and pieces in there, and then like they have an end in mind. And I think with Tite Kubo, it was like, I don't see how I can end this fucking manga.
Yeah.
You know, and Araki, you know.
I mean, even Kishimoto had that like issue. It was like, oh shit, how do I kill Madara? Like, how do we deal with Madara?
And well, let's just do it quickly and then bring Kaguya out. Cause he literally tried to get a round robin on three villains. And like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, it's not Obito, by the way, guys. No, it's fucking Madara. It's not Madara, it's Kaguya.
No, it's not Kaguya. It's Sasuke. The whole time it was Sasuke.
Yeah, well, Sasuke's always they were, you know, that was gonna happen.
But I'm of the belief that we didn't even need to fucking have that last Sasuke versus Naruto fight, because it was just like, all right, we get it. Like, they were at that point.
And
we
personally, if they didn't have it, I would have felt blueballed. That's the thing.
I wouldn't have felt blueballed, nigga. We just beat the fuck. We beat God, nigga. What the fuck?
we've had three matches, right? Or three encounters where these motherfuckers have gotten into it. Like, you know, we've way back at the Valley of the End, and even more so, well, let's say in training when they were little, because they have that whole flashback, you know, fucking at the end. So you have to count that in training when they were little, then Valley of the End, and then when fucking Sasuke went blind, and it was like, yeah, oh, okay, shit.
All right. So what you're saying is like Water Tower, Valley in the End, and then the end of
and
the
then shit. You have to have that. So it's a situation of like, we have to have the ending conflict because we just fucking finished off the greatest.
Right, but I genuinely feel like, and maybe it's because I focus more so.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you good. You good. I think maybe it's because I focus more so on the narrative aspect of the story, where it's just like, hey, you wanna get refocused real quick?
I'm really trying to, dog. I'm trying to.
I know. Put your hand in front of the fucking thing, bro. Anyway, you know, like you got like from a narrative standpoint, Naruto versus Sasuke kind of got played out because they already worked together. So why would he renege on all the shit that he just did to fight Naruto if he was just trying to shoehorn in something that's literally fan service?
I'll put it to you like this. And oh fuck. Yeah, here we are. I'll put it to you like this because the ending of the let's not get too fucking in the weeds.
Yeah, I don't want to get too in the weeds.
Hashirama versus Madara, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The big thing there is that at the end, the way that they tried to resolve that conflict was like, hey, like Madara gets defeated and he's like, look, I'm not going to tell my people to work with your people because I feel like you're going to fuck us over. So the only thing that's going to tell me that you've got the fucking conviction to do this, to have this, to like, to really like put that shit aside is to murder your brother. Kill that nigga right now. And Hashirama was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'll kill myself and we can go from there. And Madara was like, all right. And so he's like, cool, I'll take it. And then when Hashirama shows that he'll actual fucking off himself, right? It's like, okay, cool. I believe in your conviction, right? And there's a bunch of reasons why, like, technically, if Hashirama would have killed Tobirama, it probably would have went way better for the whole situation. But either way,
that's the story of Naruto.
That's a story. I mean, that's a different situation.
That's I'm literally Naruto in general. It's like, yeah, I could have killed the nigga that was going to be the source of the problems, but yeah. I have conviction. Yeah.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is this, is that we had this whole fight between two of the individuals that was the strongest of the time frame, right? They tried to come to a compromise, and then through deception and issue, like that compromise fell through, right? So in order to not repeat the issues of the past, right, we had that
Which whole everybody, fight. By the way, is not concerned with, but go ahead.
But the thing is that some of them are, because now we have two individuals who are arguably stronger than everybody else with very conflicting ideals. And the only reason they work together is because literally Sasuke was like,
I feel like that's like
odd people's good.
That's why they did that Kaguya fucking.
I mean, Kaguya is fucking shoehorned as
right.
fuck.
I won't say that necessarily, but like, yeah, it's shoehorned. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no,
Kaguya is shoehorned. More importantly, like the Ashura Indra shit, it's like, this is the cycle. This is the deadly cycle between the two reincarnations of Ashura and Indra, and they're always going to do shit
like that. But the thing about it is that it wasn't like Naruto's difference, right, is that he was supposed to show that you can show full and real strength and show your conviction and convince someone truly that, hey, we can do this a different way.
It's not like you're trying to call Sasuke pussy.
No, I'm trying to say that Sasuke was outright trying to kill my nigga, right? And Naruto met his force, right? And like Superman, like every other individual with like great fucking power ability, Goku, every like a great deal of shonen protagonists except for Ichigo, because that nigga will body you. He just will. But she showed that he was like, okay, we can meet with the same force. I can show you that I'm here and convicted. And we can really do this. And they ended up coming out of the tie. And I think that them laying together, like laying there,
it's
on
not
the
really
ground,
a tie
blood
one
mixed,
nigga's holding back. But
I mean, again, one nigga holding back could be their ultimate issue. That like you holding back doesn't necessarily make the fight like less fair. Because
no,
you still
I guess you're right. I guess
that's if any of the defensive martial arts have anything to say, is that like, just because I didn't fucking drop you doesn't mean I didn't fucking lose. Like,
lost. Didn't mean I didn't meet your force. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I feel you. I really do.
I know
that was like a mini in the weeds conversation, but like, my point still stands, right? It's like, from a narrative standpoint, it's kind of shoehorned in, and none of these guys really have the intention of ending their story.
Yeah, and so it's a situation, but with Kishimoto, I feel like that was his attempt at trying to end it, but it's wild that it would drag more. But it just doesn't seem like the it doesn't. I would feel like the story as a whole, if we left off with either a
right, Sasuke, but that's my point about the consumption bit, right? Because it's like, okay, you looking at this story, like, okay, we beat Kaguya, right? We essentially fixed the problem,
yeah,
right? But because like the audience has this expectation of different fucking like.
Because we need to know what the fuck is going on between,
and it's such a base level fucking desire. Like, well, okay, cool, we fixed the problem, but I need to know who's gonna be like who's stronger, Naruto or Sasuke.
It's like, not even the who's stronger. It's just like whose ideals is gonna win out, because Sasuke has already revealed that he's like, I will do this whole village thing fucking differently. I'm gonna be Batman. I'm gonna be the fucking fear that people have. I'm gonna be that was Sasuke. Sasuke was literally Shadow Hokage, I'm gonna go Batman, like, you
know. Like, yeah, Shadow Hokage. Be that guy. And I feel it, but it's also like, just like,
I'm sorry,
why are you not serving your narrative? Instead, you're serving your
Kishimoto. You had an opportunity to get us. You had an opportunity to just go ahead and give us your narrative right here, right there, and it could have been resolved. The things that they surmounted dealing with this story that you put all the conflicts that you put them like put in front of them, they've surmounted. They've gotten all the information. There's no more like extra.
Right, essentially, no more. Right.
And so you can just let it go. But because you have a villain that you don't know how to kill without anybody feeling like, that was like,
that was kind of an ass pull.
Like, which is wild because you still ass pull. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like,
Maybe that is an example, right? Of like somebody's schedule or somebody's like thought process of expectation. Cause I feel like this is going to come up to bite MAPPA in the ass because they've got so much stuff going on. Like Vinland Saga season 2. For me, is like it's. I'm very excited for it because when I started reading Vinland Saga the manga, I watched Vinland Saga the show, and then I was like, where the fuck does it pick up in the manga? And I read the fuck out of it, and I was like, ooh, this transformation, this arc of Vinland Saga is so incredible that like I'm like, how the fuck do y'all plan on putting enough like thought process and time into this? As the same as any of these other, like, because it's a lot to go through. Because
Do you put the same energy into the into the actual animation?
Because like, I'll say that the last few bits of fucking Attack on Titan have been like up and down. Like,
you know me, I don't give a fuck about Attack on Titan.
I'll say that like the switching of stylings for the Titans, because like remember how like style I don't know, you've seen clips and shit, so you remember how stylized the Titans were at one point.
Yeah.
After a bit, they were just like, let's go with that Netflix 3D animation for the Titans so that we can save cash, like so that we can save money. I mean, save time.
Animation costs fucking time. Money.
Yeah, no, I
pay animators. You feel me?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm saying when you've got a team that's spread so fucking thin, obviously you're going to try to cut corners where you can. And I feel like,
at the end of the day, when you have like an audience expectation, right? And I think that's what separates like a lot of these like indie animators. And I don't know if we're still using that word, but I like the word. But I think that's what separates like a lot of these indie animators, because these indie animators, they don't have expectations that they have to like meet. So they can kind of just do what they want. Like that
but like if you look at like the creator of Bleach, I'm not Bleach, Berserk, right?
Kentaro Miura.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, I just didn't want to say his last name. I didn't want to fuck up his last name because the Miura portion was gonna. I was like, it's gonna fuck up. I know Kentaro, but like the Miura portion was like. Eh. But either way, like if you look at that, like an individual like that, like where he would might drop a chat, like where we had like huge hiatuses.
Yeah,
like I think it was on a boat for like.
I put him and Oda in the same category because him and Oda, they both have two legacy manga and fucking Togashi, because they all have. Like legacy manga, and they all have I don't know about Oda, but they have documented health problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I've never. I'll get you there, because Kentaro, you know, rest in peace. He passed from his, like, you know.
Yeah.
And Tite again, another situation where people are like, yeah, he's like, I think clinically exhausted.
Do we really expect him to crash out? Is my thing.
Yeah,
right?
And
right.
We don't want to work the nigga to death, right? But we also don't want like a George R. R. Martin, where it's like, you know, it's like 8 years between projects and shit.
That's the nigga that did Game
of Thrones. But that's the difference. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the difference between being like an author in some cases.
This is like such an unrealistic expectation of a creative to simultaneously draw and craft the story that you're like watching, right? Or at least like drive the art direction of the story that you're consuming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and your Togashi point was really good, because that's another nigga that can take like a very long hiatus, and he just recently started, you know, fucking writing again. So, and I'm very excited for this Dark Continent arc. I'm happy to be through all the fucking politics. It took a while to get through all this goddamn. Good news. Leora was the leader. Ah, we could have fucking did that.
Right. And we finally started to pivot back to Gon being the fucking main character and shit. But I mean, I don't know. I don't read Hunter.
It's less so because he's like, he said that Gon's not the protagonist anymore, and it's like, okay, yeah, cool. We want to see where the fucking Kurapika storyline goes and the whole fucking God, what kind of beast? There's some kind of Nin beast. They're like Nin beast. And the fucking boat.
It's an expansive story, and like, yeah, it's going all types of different directions. But that's the issue when you create an anime behind it, and that's why I'm just like, and there used to be but there's kind of a separation between the manga, and the anime, right? Yeah. Whereas the manga is like this like intimate story that the mangaka kind of has with the work.
Yeah, and you got a weekly audience that you're keeping up with, like, and that you're actually like, you get an opportunity to connect with on a different level, because what you miss out with on the anime side is like the editor's notes and little things that kind of like add in there. You don't always miss out on, because like
the characterization of like the anime, or because like once it becomes an anime, you're kind of like trying to push it. You're trying to push it to become like this grander thing than what the manga was possibly trying to be.
Absolutely. And from where you as a creator like went through, and you've crafted like a panel, right? You've crafted a panel, and each time you go through, you're telling a story via these still images. And then like your anime studio is going to take your source material, and they're going to fucking animate in between the lines.
Not only do they have to animate it, they have to expound on it too.
Exactly. Like we have to take what is, you know, all of like the Luffy versus Katakuri fight in fucking One Piece. That motherfucking, that whole thing. I know you probably didn't watch it, but like,
I don't give a fuck about
like
One Piece.
Fucking four or five episodes. It was a long ass time, but it didn't actually take that long manga wise. Like we were pretty much in, and we were hype about it. It was taking a few, like a couple of chapters, but like for what they had to expound upon to try to equal the epicness that we felt in the manga, to do it justice, they extended it out like five episodes, which is a lot of work.
I mean, that's kind of and that's the odd thing about Japanese media, especially like anime manga, like it's all crossover media, and they cross over between each other. And we've talked about like how like American comics have an opportunity to be like their own individual stories, but anime doesn't really have that. They call that shit filler. And way we look at filler is like, oh, that shit sucks. We don't fuck
with it. We're never going to be like, we're never looking at the Starro shit or the Bizarro shit with Superman and going like, oh, this is filler, right? Like none of that filler. It's just all fucking Superman.
It's all the thing. And maybe it's because there's no continuous narrative in American comics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like it's like the thing is that all superheroes, the only goal is to keep the peace. Like,
we're not, or at least on a more meta level, like the goal is to
extend the story, just continue to give
reinforce the character.
Give this piece, put more obstacles and things like that in the way to continue to build the idea, or like not just the deal, but the
icon.
The icon, like, yeah, make this character iconic. The reason that Spider-Man has a billion different stories is so that we know the like the center focus, the, you know, great power, responsibility. Like if you're looking at like, you know, fucking movie Spider-Man, the fucking through line is with great power comes great responsibility, and you just have to continue to put him through that. And like, you know, you look at Daredevil, you know, the man without fear, you have to continually
reinforce that idea, like he's the man without fear, he's the nigga that does this shit, and we have to resolve that in so many. And so the movies have to reinforce that, the comics have to reinforce that, the TV shows have to reinforce that,
at least that for a time. And then like you pass it off to different writers, you pass it off to different writers, and you let those individuals kind of like tell their own story within a space.
Whereas with manga, anime manga especially, you can't necessarily pass that off to a different character, because they're not going to run with your character. They have to run with your story.
Yeah, which is weird, because like you have manga, like, or you have like series like Fate, like, right? Like Fate there's a billion of the fates, or like Gundam, right? That's another thing where, like, you know, you
Gundam
have
can get away with it because they're that's not that's working what I'm saying. With the Gundam, same characters every
exactly
right. Like every with time, the idea like of Gundam.
Yeah, what the Gundam stands for. Gundam stands right. for freedom. They're going to be, it's time for rebellion. And right. it's like just
I think that like legacy anime is like Astro Boy, like Devilman.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Like Devilman yeah. and fucking, it's really just Devilman.
I mean, like, you, like, yeah, stories. Hold on. No, Cyborg 009, because like that yeah. that has like a lot of crossover stuff. Like they have like a Cyborg 009. Devilman crossover movie.
Yeah, well they do, yeah. they do, but they come from the same era.
It's like, and that's like God. That's
I,
like
I don't know. If you know I've been real obsessed with Devilman, but that's just come. That's just
Devilman. Devilman comes
grow
and goes
up Christian,
with me,
and
dog.
You kind of like
yeah,
like,
exactly, yeah. exactly. You grow up Christian, you have a very interesting experience with like religion in manga and anime. Like if you just back to back fucking like Ninja Scroll, then Evangelion, like you pretty much
all start the crazy going, fucky fuck shit that happens.
Yeah, you start, and then you like end up dabbling in
Ninja
paranoia.
Scroll too. By the way, like Ninja Scroll too, like you can put that in the same category where it's just like yeah. we can kind of take liberties with the story.
We have a through line of characters and we can kind of play with them as long as these themes are generally yeah, present yeah. we're good to go
right like, as long as we hit that but I think that there's certain
which
like is, narrative
which I think with the Eastern media like with Japan like anime and stuff like that you get that with age groups right like with like it's shonen so here's how the like
but you know you gotta remember and I'm not trying to talk shit about like the growth of like anime as a whole but like you know you got anime that gets like more popular and like what mm-hmm. most people are buying into is the narrative most people are buying into the story and like if it doesn't kind of follow that direction a lot of people kind of jump off of it because you have to interact with it on a very two-dimensional level
yeah
you know what I mean I don't know if I'm making sense.
Take some time. No, I get you. You have to take some time, sit down, and just read. Like you're reading.
Well, no,
a lot of
well, yeah, like you have to read. But like, all right, like let's take Pokemon for instance, right?
Okay. Oh yeah, another situation.
Fuck the docket, I guess. But like,
oh no, I mean, like, we're getting there. Like we're getting there. I just this is again something that I was like, this is interesting. I'm willing to have that because with everything, with how much speed and time that it would, much is expected of a lot of these studios, which how much is expected of a lot of these creators, right?
Right.
There's so many different levels that or layers really when it comes
what's
to
going
like,
on, process. Right? Yeah. Okay, so like take Pokemon for instance, right?
Yeah.
Pokemon the TV show, Pokemon the brand as a whole, and Pokemon the manga. Are three totally different things.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And the
canon like Pokemon the manga is at times very gruesome, very
dark.
Yeah, very dark. Very fucking dark. Very dark.
And the anime will borrow from those themes from time to time.
Yeah,
like, but
for the most part, like the anime is its own.
Yeah, if you read entity. The fucking like fucking data entry for Charmander, like it's like oh shit, if that tail fire goes out, it's dead.
Right,
like it's like
you might exactly see that in there, like, but you're not gonna see Charmander die. Whereas exactly. in the manga,
you like, might see a Charmander die.
You might see fucking Charmander die, and like you know, in the brand itself, like you know, Pokemon the brand, you're not gonna see that.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
You get squiggly eyes, nigga. Like it's
right.
not
you get a couple squiggly Rush eyes, we get you to the Pokemon Center and you're good.
Good to go.
Right. And I think that like a lot of Eastern media just doesn't have that opportunity. Like some Eastern media properties have that opportunity, but absolutely. A lot of them don't
well,
have
a lot that. Of the, a lot of stuff that we are like a lot of stuff that I feel like we're participating in as far as like because again fucking most of the AAA anime is over there at studio fucking MAPPA right now and yeah. so it's like you've got one studio kind of handling this and a lot yeah. of hands in this pot whereas like this one studio handling it, that's awesome but like they don't have as much time whereas the source material what this creator spent all this time kind of crafting they're kind of crafting their audience, building these relationships and shit like that can be thrown off by a bad anime. I mean, like, yeah. or at least like if it's trying
and
to
I think that's what it is. Like once the manga like gets greenlit for an anime, it's like, okay, we can't take any more risks.
Right now we need to, and that's what's so wild about it. I feel like with Ty Cuba, because like you have a studio that's like, yo, we need more source material, right? Like people are itching at the, like they're chomping at the bit. We need more. We need to be able to animate more. Oh, you don't have anything? Well, cool. Well, we're just gonna make some stories. Like we know the general thought process,
and that's how filler happens.
So it's like we've gotten away a lot, because I haven't seen a lot of anime lately.
The problem is filler gets that fucking,
yeah, I mean, it gets the rap, like, and I think that's because of things like, which is wild, because some of my favorite filler, like Dragon Ball Z, has some of my favorite.
I love Dragon Ball filler. I like Naruto filler. I like a lot of fucking,
but I mean,
at the end of the day, like the consumer themselves doesn't want to deal with that as a whole. Yeah. Like the average,
they want the story. Like I want the story. I want to get to it. And like anything that's kind of off that linear path or off that storyline path.
Like even Demon Slayer, right? As short as it is, I think Demon Slayer could benefit from filler.
Benefit from some filler because it's so short. I understand what you're talking about. Like some more Tanjiro. I understand what you're talking about because there's this sense of like wanting more because it's over now. It's done. And there's speculation that there could be spinoff series or.
Right.
Like,
well, there are spinoffs and all that other shit, like, but it doesn't get animated.
Yeah. Which, mind you, just as some cool ass news, shout out to fucking Kishimoto, you know, the light novels, a lot of the Naruto light novels are being greenlit for animes. Like they're starting to.
Well, that's what's happening right now. Like Kishimoto just got greenlit for, well, not greenlit. Kishimoto just kind of announced that he's going to like helm a manga based solely off of like audience participation. But I'm kind of like, I don't really want that.
Yeah, that sounds like a little pandery.
I wouldn't say it's like pandery, but it's just like audiences don't really. Maybe they do, but audiences to me don't really know what they want until they have it.
But what's wild? Okay, I'll see that. I'll see you that and raise you Batman Death in the Family. Like that's I'll see we you that
got, once again. The American comics are different,
very different.
We can pick and choose what is and isn't like canon, I guess is the word. I don't know if that's
very true, but I'm saying with the Death in the Family, right? You've got a Robin that people that the company is deeming that they're not receiving well, right? Mm-hmm. So Robin is like, we don't necessarily know how we're feeling about that. So let's put
it to Death in the Family, not Death of the Family.
No, Death in the Family. Sorry.
Ah, okay,
like,
cool.
The OG event where they were like, we don't.
All right, call this number, and we're gonna decide if we're gonna kill Robin or not.
Or mail, call this number, mail some shit in. If this is the way y'all want it, then he'll die. If not, then cool.
Yeah, choose your own adventure. The choose your own adventure style of fucking
exactly
what the young people call content.
Yeah, content creation or whatever. But so Kishimoto doing something like that is interesting. But for me now, with the level of access that we have, like. I mean, I guess it would be awesome, but like the level of access that we have, the level of feedback or interaction that's going to
the
get.
The audience interaction.
The audience interaction is, I feel like, projected to be very large. It's going to be huge.
Yeah,
right?
No, I mean, it's different because we live in a different time where like the shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fucking calling a number. I can fucking tweet at Kishimoto.
No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. The shit that we consume, we expect to have a hand in.
I see. We expect our opinions to really matter and fucking like grip the like have an effect on the storyline and the people because it's being created in the real time and we can contact and be a part of this in real time. And so it's like,
and for a lot of these guys, they're not creating things prior to, right? They have the idea, they put the concept out, they start writing the manga, and they kind of just like gauge audience perspective. Like,
yeah, I mean, manga, mind you, because you've actually been putting out some really hot like content as far as like the socials of going. One thing that I thought, like, you know, how one thing I thought was really dope, like the thread that you did on fucking artists or mangaka's previous works.
Yeah,
right. I think that's really dope because, you know, a lot of the times if you look at like take the mangaka for Fairy Tail, right? Mm-hmm. He did fucking Rave Master. And
he did do Rave Master.
Yeah, he did Rave Master. You look at that and a lot of the character designs, a lot of the.
They overlap.
They overlap. Like Heartfilia is a company that makes clothing in Rave Master and also in fucking Fairy Tail. And then I think as well as the new manga that he did that's now an anime. Eden Zero, which I like. After I finished Fairy Tail, I was very well. Right at the end of Fairy Tail, he announced that he was doing Eden Zero, and I was like, "Oh shit!" Well, I'm reading Fairy Tail right now, and I know this is coming to an end. Let me go read it. And I read it for a bit. It took me a bit to get into it. I bet money that it's better like now that it's gotten even more time to kind of build. But yeah, the initial world building can kind of be slow for me sometimes. So I'll put a manga down for a while.
Right, but I mean, once again, and that loops back to your audience, like your expectation of that person.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And
ultimately, I'm just like, at this point in time, like creatives, like artists, writers, et cetera, in today's like content economy, we are fighting like audience expectation daily. And you cannot expect one person or even like a team to keep up with audience expectation. So, you know, and you know, I know this is a shitty segue. This is a shitty segue.
No, but wait. Before you do that, because I get it, because the objective, right, is to try to tell the story. That's the objective.
I don't think that's an objective anymore, bro.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry. Like,
the audience wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that makes it an objective then.
I'm saying the objective, when you go to the undertaking of like, hey, we're going to animate this manga, we're going to turn it into an anime. Like the objective is to tell the story of the anime, like the manga, but also to like fill in the story, like to tell a story, right? But like when it comes to a situation like Attack on Titan, like they're telling the story, they're doing as much as they can with the time frame. But even my brain was like, ah, the Titan designs, man, the Titan designs. Have chains, they're fucking shitty. But the thing is that it's still, I'm still watching it. I'm still gripped because I'm invested in the through line of the story. Like, and I think that the audience expectation, I think, should be that, hey, you might have gripes, but you should be here for the story.
Yes, but I think that our tolerance for dealing with gripes is much lower.
Absolutely, because the fact of the matter is that dealing with gripes becomes like your tolerance goes down because you're dealing with more and more of it. The gripes once upon a time were like if you didn't like fucking Dragon Ball back in the fucking 80s, like you had to write a letter.
Yeah,
you had to fucking write.
There was more interface between you and like by the time the letter got there, it's like, oh, you really cared.
Yeah, and on top of that, there's probably been like 2 to 3 fucking chapters since before they've actually got a chance to read it. Whereas now, an episode drops, right? They're trying to
get on Twitter and tell you like I didn't.
Yeah, they're trying to animate the next week's episode, and somebody's like, "Hey, there's a million tweets, and it's all like, hey, we hated that."
Well, you got to remember the production schedule for a lot of these animes and like a lot of TV shows isn't South Park. A lot of them are already put out and created, and then they gradually put them out.
Yeah.
But now it's like a lot of people don't think about the process that goes into it and more so just like, wow, I experienced a story. I have a very two-dimensional experience with this. What the fuck? What the fuck just happened?
What the fuck is this? What the fuck happened? Tell me what's going on. You dropped the ball. You dropped the ball.
Yeah, you're telling me I dropped the ball before you got the full, but like before you got
the
full
it's like picture. I've already got the next chapter out here that solves and answers your question. Or you know, like you're going to be excited, which is why I feel like Oda, because like Oda kind of like gives this I don't give a fuck attitude.
Once again, he's a legacy.
That's what I'm saying. A legacy artist. He's put like that's the thing. He's gotten to the point where he doesn't care. I feel like that's like the case of like Dave Chappelle. Or like a Dave Chappelle, he's like, I'm a legacy act. I'm here. I've been through.
But
been
once again, he's experiencing things that I'm like, yeah, I don't know if he's gonna make it in the next 15, not 15, that's in true. The next like 6 years.
He is consistently bucking the system.
He's consistently anyway. This isn't about comedy.
And not at all. This is just another medium. I hate to continue.
I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is like, hey, look, as audiences become more involved in how things come out and how successful things are going to change.
Right? Certainly. And so in that change, like go ahead.
Yeah. Things like stand-up comedy, like you kind of have to make money and to incentivize you to continue to create this medium. You have to kind of adhere to some of these criticisms, right?
Yeah, like you do have to deal with some of the gripes. Like when it comes down to it, like you're crafting this, like you're doing it in real time. This is a criticism that you're gonna have to deal with and address,
right?
Like otherwise, you're not gonna get better.
Yeah, and even bigger than like getting better, you're not gonna get bigger because like you can be the best. Like I think you can get really good under scrutiny, but if people aren't interested in seeing you because they have this perception of you, it's
If you've never taken the scrutiny into account, right? Yeah. Which would not change any of the opinions about you or about the content that you're making. Like, it's not going to be viewed, I guess, which is why
it's not going to be consumed, because people are going to be like, I don't fuck with you. I have an idea of you already.
No, I get it. But Kanye is going to continue to put out albums.
And Kanye is a legacy act.
I know.
The problem is niggas can't do what Kanye, Dave Chappelle, Tite Kubo, Oda, all these other niggas did. Because they already put their time in, right? We already have set a precedent for how I do shit.
It's true. So when niggas like Gege Akitame come in and just continue to knock it out the fucking park,
right,
and continue to kill it, or niggas that like fuck me for not remembering the fucking mangaka for Demon Slayer, but knocking it out of the park, another situation of like that, like you have to. I feel like Demon Slayer, the route they went, oh, here's short and sweet, right? Here you go, like. And then as far as the anime goes, we put out top quality. Doesn't matter how long it takes.
Right.
This is good. It's gonna be top.
Once again, and this is my point. Like, a lot of people don't show up with the full picture in mind. And once again, to the segue, that's kind of shitty, but yeah. I want the thumbnail. It's like, with a lot of these people, like, if you're gonna create these tailored experiences that are ongoing, right? You might as well utilize every shortcut that you can fucking make.
It's true. I get it. Like, so you don't make one animator who's like a prime animator, like, right, draw every goddamn thing. You hire an in-betweener to come in and be like, all right, cool. Right.
You don't even hire an in-betweener. You know, you might want to utilize the AI. You might want to use artificial intelligence.
Oh, I see what the fuck you mean.
Segue.
That nigga's good. That nigga's potting. It's like, hey.
Right.
I see what you mean. Like, you know, the AI shit, it's really polarizing. I feel like it's kind of always been, like, George Orwell and 84 have been talking about that shit for like ever. You know, fucking iRobot, like, the AI is coming, they're gonna take over the goddamn world. You know, Deep Blue is gonna figure out how to stop playing chess, and True. It's gonna start fucking deciding what the fuck we do with our country.
But back to your point earlier, I do think that those artificial intelligences are gonna become the primary in-betweeners for like these larger properties, or even just like story generation in general.
So is that why Lindsley's out here trying to get my face? They're just trying to get better at drawing Linza? Niggas. Lindsley,
Lindsay.
That's the lint. Is it Linza?
It's Linza.
Excuse me. Lindsley's out here trying to get my face for the
Well, I mean, I don't think that's why they want your face. I think they want your face for something else entirely. But more importantly, like, because artificial intelligence is on the way. It's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah.
Best thing to do as a creative is to figure out how you're going to make it work for you.
Yeah. How do we utilize the tools? I mean, the thing is that the pop music, like, I'll relate it to music, right? Like, pop music has a sound, right? And it changes every some odd decade as tools change, as things change. Like, when Britney was around, we were shrink wrapping the shit out of people's voices, and this was the kind of the thought process and tone and sound. And then, like, as the Migos came through, and it was just like, all right, cool, everything is trap drums, this is the formula, this is how we do it, and we figure out how to make it work for us instead of continuously fighting against, like, what seems to be the new wave,
right?
So, like, it says, like, I could see how AI becoming that thing, but I see so many creators, so many artists online raging against the AI, literally raging against the machine, because AI is seemingly getting ready to replace so many people's, like, jobs. But at the same time, it's like, the people that I see complaining, I was like, well, you do, like, authentic work, but it's like, but I also do commissions, and that's how I pay my fucking bills.
Oh, okay, my bad. I didn't try to step on.
Oh, no, it's like, and that's how I pay my fucking bills. And if you can just, if for the work that I do, if you can just go to a website, type in the same, like, general two, like, three, four word concept that you were going to send me, and have a fucking computer generate it for you, then suddenly I'm out of a fucking steady pace of income. And that's not good, you know?
The way I look at it is, like, for these commissioners and shit like that, the guys who were really gonna double down on this shit, they were always gonna hire you, and, like, they're not gonna let an AI kind of kick you off of that situation.
You're saying that the position was yours in the first place. That seems really manifesty, but I mean, I get what you mean. It's like, hey, look, like as a situation, I don't think a company is going to start trying to value an AI over like a true human eye. It just might not be as many. The thing is that with like, I hate to use this because it might be obtuse, but like you look at like factories, right? Automation in factories, the industrial revolution shit. Like once upon a time, like, you know, in auto assemblies in Detroit and shit like that, you had like actual people like going through and like fabricating these objects and things like that using these machines. And then slowly but surely, as we got more and more automation, like less and less people were needed. And suddenly you have like people semi-supervising machines. And I'm like,
right. But the machines have like, end goal in mind. And I think that like when you have an artistic vision that you can impose on the end goal, you make the end goal even better. You know what I'm saying? It's like true. You've seen how your AI came out. A lot of them motherfuckers is cross-eyed and background.
Cross-eyed, my hands are fucking crazy. And the thing is that if I had asked a human to do that and they presented that same work, you would think that they were drunk. Like, girl, they did it on acid.
Yeah, but or at least they didn't care about your vision.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, I think people need to think about that. Like the AI does not care about your vision. And at the end of the day, you're paying for somebody to interpret your vision. The AI cannot interpret your vision.
I see what you, that's a super valid point because it's like, look, there's something to be said about intention, right? There's something to be said about how things are going. And when you can just, because the same with like, I continue to relate it back to music, like, as more tools become available, like, you know, when as more and more people are able to chop up samples, like you're going to get more and more.
I'm glad you brought up music production right there, because it's just like, so like FL Studio, Fruity Loops or whatever, has always had this program called the Riff Machine, right? Where you can like put your drums out and you can select a key and it will auto generate a melody for you, right?
Yeah.
And so you get the auto-generated melody, and you roll the dice over and over and over again to generate a new melody. But once you get that melody, you can tweak that melody however you go. So, like, what I feel like the AI shit kind of gives you is an opportunity to see a new direction that you can go.
I see what you mean. I was looking at Justin Roiland, fucking of Rick and Morty fame, of Solar Opposite fame. They dropped a game called High on Life, and you know, people are enjoying it because the fan base just kind of automatically transfers over, especially when
it's all the same fucking jokes.
Exactly. Same jokes, same voices, but it's now done in a video game and it's talking weapons and it's a cool gimmick. But he mentioned that he had actually when they were creating the game, they used AI generated images as concept art. Like they would go in and they would type in like, you know, a couple of words here, a couple of vague words here or there to try to get their brains going or come up with an idea for different like characters or maybe even a couple of guns. And there was a huge backlash like against it. It was like, oh my God, you know, this is another reason why I don't fucking like that game, other than the pandery ass voices and shit, because they're not actually like hiring or employing real fucking. But I'm like, that's not true. The team was the team. Like, it's not like they went through like hired based upon these AI images. It was just one day they needed a fucking brainstorm and they jumped on and they typed in a couple of things and saw what the fucking computer put out.
And they generate like, not generated, but they figured some shit out.
I mean, like Childish Gambino wouldn't have it if we didn't have some AI that was literally like, well, not that, yeah, no, that's AI. And that was like, hey, look, if we type in a word, we need to match it to another word.
I don't know if I would call that AI. It's more of an algorithm. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Wu-Tang name generator.
Wu-Tang name generator, which is just a kind of random thing.
Right.
He put his name in there and blam, like we have Childish Gambino.
It's up to you as the human, as the independent thinking entity, because no matter what happens, the artificial intelligence is never going to be an independent thinking entity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as an independent thinking person or entity, whatever, you get to control the direction, the output, etc., etc., right? And I think that, like, for this like map of shit, a lot of these guys are overworked. You could possibly use AI to kind of like
absolutely give a nigga a break.
Bulk of the bullshit work. And then you can just do some tweaks.
Yeah, because if they were able to take an AI and use it the same way they use an Excel spreadsheet to make your fucking math easier, right? And just go in and be like, hey, look, I've got fucking eight key principle frames, right? And these are all things that I definitely need. And I've trained an AI to basically say, hey, I need to complete this movement. I've got a character that starts here and ends up here. If you can fucking complete the movement in that, and I can go in and tweak the mistakes it makes as it fucking, you know, animates the next 34 to 60 frames so that I can get an image, like, that makes...
Why would I not do that?
Why would you not do that? And I feel like some people would be like, but that's a person's job. That's a person.
And it is a person's job. But I think that even then, like, that creates another job. It's just like, hey, you double check the fucking animation or whatever, right? I don't know.
Yeah. And suddenly you don't have carpal tunnel, because all you're doing is going in and making minute fixes to something that's already been put out.
Agreed. Like,
or I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait a week for my fucking manga. Because you've managed to...
Well, I don't mind waiting a week, because, like, I feel like that adds the human component to it. But it's also just like, if you do find yourself in a position where, like, oh, this shit is fucked up, like, you can consider it.
Absolutely. It's a situation where I don't think that we're trying to take... We're not trying to take human eyes off the project. We're just trying to, again, make it more... Well, I can't speak to the intent of the AI, right?
Because, and also I don't do animation work, so it's hard for me to like even make that comment.
Absolutely. But if there was like an AI, if there was like an AI editor, right, it would be a situation very similar. It was like, this is an AI and you use it to edit your videos. All you need to do is plug in a particular YouTuber style and voila, here you want PewDiePie style videos, blam, here you go.
Boom, you can do that. You can even I don't think we're that sophisticated yet, but
definitely not. But that's the thought process, right? And it's another thing where it's like, you know, these apps, they have different categories. You know, say, like, hey, you want to do it in the classical style. Mm-hmm. And this is like, hey, we fed this AI fucking 100 historical images, and this is what it came out with. This is the thought process.
I mean, but, you know, and even then, like, I don't feel like a lot of people have had, like, enough issue with, like, AIs writing articles, or, like, AIs fucking, like, auto-generating edits that aren't necessarily...
I mean, you got the deep fakes and shit where you can go through, but that's not, I think that requires still like a human touch.
It still requires a human touch. Artificial intelligence is always going to require the human touch, even if we get it to the point where you have to kill the motherfucker to stop it from fucking doing crazy shit.
Still needed a human situation, man. You know, even in the Matrix, the humans were involved.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
No, I get it. Like, as far as the tool goes, man, I feel bad, man, because once upon a time, man, we was you know, hiring little young niggas to, you know, draw shit for our binders, man, and them niggas might be out of a job.
If you think we're gonna have the pre-pro conversation we had, we're not gonna put ourselves in a position to get canceled like that, even though it is a great bit. We're not gonna do that. It's a great bit though. Y'all gonna have to pay for that though.
You have to take some time, goddamn it. Take some motherfucking time.
Take some money to get these accents.
Well, yo, with that though, man, I pretty much got it. You got anything else to add on the AI thought process, anything like that?
Nah, not for real. Not on the AI process itself.
All right, cool. Well, shit. In which case, man, I'm pretty much I got it. I'm good. I gotta get some dinner in me, man. So yeah, in which case, that's what's up. Hey, man. It's the Well-Spoken Token. You know I love you. Thank you so much for checking out the pod. Thank you so much for checking out all our videos. If you haven't checked out last week's episode, go check out Rhea Parker. It's the anime lingerie episode. Even if you're not even interested in the conversation, you can still go stare at a beautiful woman for at least an hour and a half while she speaks to two dunderheaded niggas like us. But again, we love you. We thank you. Be expecting more content. Be expecting more stuff dropping for the end of the year. We love you. Merry Christmas if you haven't already. Happy Hanukkah if it's Hanukkah for you, all the fucking holidays that show up in there, and Happy New Year if you don't see us before the new year as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's the Well-Spoken Token. Say bye to the people, bro.
Yeah. I'm gonna say bye to the people, nigga. You know better than that. Hey, y'all have a merry fucking Boxing Day, man. I catch y'all on the lip.
Merry Boxing Day. It's the Well-Spoken Token. I'm out.
Peace.